好的。
Hello.
Hello, is 9 on yet?
No, not yet.
Yes, no, ma'am.
Good afternoon. We are studying today from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, from Parashat Vayera, Pasuk 191, and we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kuchabri Fu, Vishkinte, Bidhilu, Urhimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urhimu. Leakta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavate, Beyehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'sok Torah Mitzvah. Vayehino, Amadunai Elohim, Walena Maseya, Deno Karane, Elena Maseya, Deno Karane. Amar Rabbi Chizda, Ein haku chabarichu, Oseh din bar shayin ad shanim lach, V'nishmatan shel tzadikim, Ha'idiktiv, mi nishmat Eloha, Yovedu u'kiv am kaseh ani me'avraham, Amar ha'kudsha barihu, kelum yeshli, la'asot bin birshayin, ad she'em alech, v'nishmot ha'tzadikim, v'yomer lachem, parshayim ha'adu lefanai, e'eseh b'ahem, Din diktiv vayomer Hashem, Zaakat Sodom va'amora, Ki rabba v'chatatam v'gomer. The translation. Rabbi Chisda said, the Holy One, blessed be He, does not execute judgment on the wicked until He has consulted the souls of the righteous. This is as it is written by the blast, also the soul of Eloha perished. And shall I hide from Abraham? The Holy One, blessed be He, said, how can I punish the wicked without consulting the souls of the righteous, telling them that the wicked have sinned before me, and I am about to punish them? This is as it is written, and Hashem said, because the cry of Sodom and Amorah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written. Does informing the tzaddikim qualify as consulting the righteous? What is the difference? What is the purpose of informing the righteous? Does informing someone regarding a future event qualify as prophecy? Is informing someone of a future event give that someone a chance to change the event? Does the tzaddik have the opportunity to change a negative event that will occur to others? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, if that was on a test, you'd say all of the above.
One at a time.
I do think it does give a chance to Hashem extend His mercy so that His people will cry out for mercy. And I think that was the last one you chose.
There's other people wanting to comment, or I heard other comments, so I wanted to just make sure everybody had said what they wanted to say.
I agree with Hannah, all of the above, and I believe that letting Zadig know that yes, he can change the outcome, and you can cry out for mercy. I have a different take on.
Go ahead, Malka. What's your take?
I think the event will still take place, and I base that opinion on the. I base it on Co-op Sons. I base it on so many other events. I think the event itself will continue, but there will be, if a person cries out for a individual or a group of people, just like Moshe cried out to Hashem, not destroy the Hebrews in the wilderness when they sinned against with the golden calf. Events still happened. They were still in the best court chastised for that event. But I think there's a couple of answers that I would check as well as to being a true statement. But I think once Hashem frees punishment, that would take place.
You've all said very well. And let me give you a structure to put all of your reasoning and all of your understandings into that structure. Elsewhere in the Zohar, and I don't remember which parasha, it says that Hashem has delegated the operations of the physical world to the tzaddikim, which means human beings control the actions, whether it's going to be judgment or it's going to be mercy, whether it's going to be loving kindness. That is all in the hands and in the control of human activity. The other structure that you need to have a question. We're using the word tzaddikim, and it's a plural word. Have you known human beings to agree? Everybody has an opinion. So when Hashem says, I have to let the tzaddikim know, is he talking about one person? Is he talking about a unity of people? Is he talking about a unity that includes diversity? Those questions that I'm asking right now, I have the answers, and the answers are fairly clear. Tzaddikim are a unified whole that appreciates diversity. Otherwise, they wouldn't be tzaddikim. So this unified whole has been given control of the physical world. So Hashem says, I've gotten tired of the human beings. When he went to Noah and said, I'm going to destroy the world, Noah said, okay, don't bother me. I'll build the ark for you. He didn't try and argue with Hashem about that. Then the next tzaddik that we show in the book of Genesis is Abraham. And Hashem went to Abraham and said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham started to argue and asked that it be changed. But he didn't go down from the number 10 righteous people to one. He stopped at 10. So he didn't go far enough. The next person was Moshe. Now, each of these three people that I've mentioned lived in a time when they were the righteous. In other words, that unified whole that I mentioned as Tzadikim, when it came to Noah, he was the only righteous man. When it came to Abraham, he was the only righteous man. When it comes to Moshe, there are other righteous people, but they're delegated. There's a hierarchy, and the person who's at the top of the hierarchy determines what the action, what's going to happen. So when Hashem went to Moshe and said, I'm going to destroy the children of Israel, Moshe not only argued with him, just like Abraham did, but he went so much further than he argued, but he offered it to be destroyed himself. So what you see is this pattern of history. You see this pattern of spiritual growth. And it is that understanding and that structure that all of your thoughts needs to be put into the structure of that hierarchy of where is the spiritual growth? Who are the Tzaddikim? Now, if you then go to my questions that are in this commentary, doesn't Hashem inform the Tzaddikim? Yes, that's what the verse says. Who is he informing? He's informing all of them, and all of them needs to have an understanding of what their reaction is, their proaction is. But ultimately, the proaction is determined by the highest spiritual level of the highest human being, whatever those words highest mean. What is the purpose of Hashem informing the righteous? The purpose is to give seed control to them. This is what should happen. That's what he's telling the Tzaddikim. But it's up to the Tzaddikim. The delegation of authority has been given to the human being species, to the righteous level, to the highest group, so to speak. Now, how does that apply to a nation? Does he tell the Tzaddikim in Israel that there's going to be a tsunami in China? Or does he tell the spiritual entity who's in charge of China and he decides? Or does he tell the Tzaddikim of China? Because China has righteous people. So you can see the structure that the Zohar has been teaching us and how it applies. And that's why I took the time in this pasuk. Does anyone have any further questions on this?
I do. Informing the Tzaddikim that this is what it is going to do. And the Tzaddikim may have asked for more mercy on the event that is supposed to take place, okay? So with that said, my question is, if a sinner says, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, then Abraham would say, oh, it was 50 people down to 10. But Abraham did not change the event. He just changed a group of people's destination. So with the Tzaddikim, they have to do something, right? Because I'm going to do this. It's not like they're all not going to do anything. They're just going to just let it go, not have any kind of judgment mixed with mercy, you know, or any kind of judgment, put it that way. So my question is, the event going to just stop?
Yes, I understand your question, and it's the same question as your disagreement, and it really wasn't a disagreement, but your discussion earlier about Hashem decides on the event and it's going to happen, and the Tzaddikim had the authority to ask for mercy and persuade Hashem to inject more mercy. But let me put it now on an individual level. We have many stories about the Tzaddikim in the generation of the Baal Shem Tov and the Hasidic movement. But one of the ways of understanding that is, what is the Tzaddik in the teachings of Chassidut? What was the Baal Shem Tov to the world? What is the Ari to the world? So an example of that, and it addresses your statement, Malka. A woman goes to the Baal Shem Tov, and she says, I want a child. I've been trying to get pregnant for 10 years. I haven't been able to get pregnant. My husband's going to divorce me. Because the halakha says, if you're married to a woman for 10 years and she's never been pregnant, you have the right to divorce her. But the real issue is, number one, that only applies when you're in the land of Israel, because living in the land of Israel is an elevated level of holiness. But be that as it may, the Baal Shem Tov said, I'm blessing you to have a child. And the next year, she's delivered a child. So what was her request? There was a decree that she should not have a child, meaning there was a judgment on this woman and her husband that they not have children. For 10 years was the decree that she was going to get pregnant in the 11th year, whether the Tzaddik blessed her or not. And according to the structure and the understanding is, the decree would have gone on for the rest of her life with that husband. But by injecting the mercy of the blessing, the Tzaddik changed the decree. So it didn't happen. The decree was they were to not have children. The blessing of the Tzaddik changed the action, so she became pregnant. It also applies in the other way, where the decree is you're going to lose your money, and you get a blessing from the Tzaddik, and you don't lose your money. So it works in both directions. The Tzaddik is actually controlling the action. What Hashem is saying to the Tzaddikim, this is what should happen based on the decrees of the spiritual levels, the spiritual courts. But you are in control of what happens in the physical world. So you decide whether to implement this decree or to not implement it. I hope it's addressing your question clearly.
Yes, thank you.
Does anybody else want to continue this discussion, or should I move on?
Well, I'm thinking about Jonah. The people repented. They heard the message, and they did teshuva and repented. And then I think later, they sinned again. But sometimes it also, depending on the situation, depends on how the person who was, who had our group or town or city or country or whatever has the decree, the judgment, how they respond.
Well, true teshuvah means that you will never do that action again. It means that Hashem will testify at your court hearing that you couldn't, you can never do that action again. So when the Torah says in Jonah that the citizens of Nineveh did teshuvah, it doesn't say that it was forever. It just says for now. It didn't rescind the decree. The decree still held. If people didn't do the actions, therefore there was no need for the decree to manifest. But as soon as they started doing those actions again, the decree manifests. The tzaddikim are in control. And that control is all of the different levels. So it's not a black or white situation. It's many shades of gray, because the physical world and our consciousness and the way we view the world has many shades of gray. It's never a binary choice, this or that. Another example of that is, I don't remember which prophet, but I think it was Nebuchadnezzar was going to destroy Jerusalem. And one of the prophets said, you have to release your slaves, otherwise Jerusalem will be destroyed. And the people freed their slaves. They gave them the paper. They're now all free. And Nebuchadnezzar changed direction. He didn't come to Jerusalem. He went to Egypt and destroyed Egypt, which is what his plan was, to destroy Jerusalem and then destroy Egypt. But he bypassed Jerusalem because they freed their slaves. But as soon as they saw that he had bypassed them, their slaves were reattached. They arrested all the newly freed people, and they're now slaves again. And Nebuchadnezzar defeated Egypt and made a beeline to Jerusalem and destroyed it. So what happened? The Tzaddikim didn't change the decree. They delayed the decree. They rescinded it for a time. However you want to perceive it, and that's really what Malka was saying, is the events are still going to happen. But they do not have to happen if your teshuvah is complete. And I hope that's now clear, although I can appreciate it if it's not.
Well, we're talking about, the decree is out. The decree was made, but it, like you say, it doesn't have to manifest. The Father King can intervene for a nation or peoples. But once the peoples or nation turn their back against that Hashem or the spiritual world, then that event will come and manifest.
But if the people do the full teshuvah, meaning they would never do that action again, the decree is not just stopped, it is erased.
Right, okay.
Because the same structure of court, or for lack of a better word, a spiritual court, the same structure of the decree and the manifestation applies at the micro level, at the individual human being level, and at the nation level. And in our current pandemic, at the world level, all of the human species, because it's affecting everybody.
Right.
Now, if everybody does teshuvah and changes their behavior, well, what is the governments, the various governments and the medical community telling us to do? Change your behavior. Okay, what behavior? Oh, you have to stay away from people. You can't have minions to pray. Your churches can't be open. So if you go to church, if you go to a minion, it can't be more than 10 people. And so forth, small groups. You're changing your behavior, but a great majority of people are saying, well, I'm waiting for it to get the vaccine, that man will overcome the decree. But the man will overcome the decree if they change their behavior, their physical and spiritual behavior, not what the governments are telling them to do. So if somebody is saying, and I was listening to a rabbi in his class today, he's saying, anybody who's telling you that it's going to be over and we're going to go back to normal and everything's going to be okay and we're all together, only if everybody makes the changes and keeps the changes. But as soon as you stop with the changes and revert to your same behavior, it's got to come back. And that was the message. That is his warning. It's going to get worse because we're not going to stay keeping our behavior. And that's what we're seeing all throughout the world. There are countries that it hasn't. They've maintained their behavior. They kept social distancing. They all wear masks all the time. Countries like Taiwan, like South Korea. But in China, they all do those same things, except they opened it up, and now they have other. It's rising again, and they're shutting it down. So you see the pattern the way it is. What is the purpose of the pandemic? On an overall macro level, it's a wake-up call. You have to change your behaviors. You're hurting people. You're not treating people properly. You're talking Lashon Hara. All over the world, you're talking bad about other people. You're not lying. You're talking bad. You're coming from a frame of thinking you're better than the other person, and so you say what you say. But when you're separated from them and you're living in your house with your family, you're not talking Lashon Hara. When you're going on the video conferences, you're not talking Lashon Hara in the same way. So the decree has been withheld. But it hasn't been broken. As soon as you go back to it, it's going to come back again stronger. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to describe what the way the spiritual system works and how it impacts the physical. When it was Noah and the flood, it was God who was doing it. Yes, he went to Noah, who was the only Tzaddik, and he asked him to, told him he was doing it, and Noah didn't think he had the authority to argue with God. But ultimately, we each have the authority to argue with God, only if we change our behavior. We live in a generation who has lost and is going to continue to lose these elderly Kabbalists these elderly tzaddikim who are exposed to the virus. Well, if they're righteous, why should they get the virus? And the answer is, all the people that they are teaching that look to them for leadership, if they are not causing those people to improve, then they're going to be exposed because they have that responsibility to teach the student, cause the student to grow spiritually. And if they're not doing it, they're not calling out when the student is speaking Lashon Hara, they're going to experience the fate of the nation, the fate of the generation. What is the fate of this generation? The fate of this generation is either to prevent the Armageddon War or to experience the Armageddon War. I'm striving to prevent the Armageddon War. Is it a binary choice? At this point in this discussion, at this generation, that particular macro event is a binary choice. It will happen, or it will be delayed, or it will be happen with mercy. So it's really a triple. The glass is half full, the glass is half empty, or the glass is. Any other thoughts or questions? Because we are out of time. You all have a good afternoon, good evening. We have a regular Zohar class in our 7 o'clock class, and we will have a Psalms class tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom Gadol. Shalom Gadol. Thank you.